podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
It's a privilege, Lord God, to come into your house to worship you freely. We thank you that your Spirit is here in this place. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's healing. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's deliverance. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's hope today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day and all that you have in store for us. We lift up the first family of this church, Pastor Gilbert, Pastor Mona. We pray for them, that you continue to bless them and refresh them today. We pray, oh God, for the elders of this church, God, the government of this church. Thank you for a clean church where the men of God love you and pursue you, God. And we just thank you for blessing our eldership, the government of this house. Touch everyone today under my voice. May they be blessed, refreshed, taught, and encouraged today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I thank God for the series that we're on, and anybody being blessed like me in the book of Hebrews and the series on Hebrews, I am totally blessed by this. And, you know, even though I've been in the faith for a while, because I come every Sunday with expectancy, God continues to teach me and grow me up in the things of the Lord Jesus. So I'm thankful. And we're going to stay in the series this morning on Hebrews. And this morning I've been invited by a pastor to minister out of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is commonly known as the faith chapter, or some call it the Faith Hall of Fame, where you know, so many of those in the faith that did great things for God, great things to advance his kingdom, are highlighted in Hebrews chapter 11. So I've been privileged to teach out of this chapter today. One thing I know about Hebrews chapter 11 is that it's one of the most powerful books in the Bible. And if you really can understand what Hebrews 11 is all about and you start to personalize it and dissect those truths, how many of you know your life can change? How many of you know God wants you to live beyond your education? He wants you to live beyond your race. He wants to want you to live beyond just the average things that we have, your status or your human limitations. How many of you know God wants you to live a life of faith? So today, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to do a little teaching today. Is that okay? I'm a teacher. I'm not really a preacher, but I love to hoop a little bit. But I'm more of a teacher than anything else. And I want to talk about faith before we get into the book of Hebrews and lay a foundation. So if I could have that first slide. This title of our message is Living Intentionally to Please God. Now, these are some principles I just want to lay a foundation for us this morning before we actually begin to go into the book of Hebrews. We see some commonly used phrases that the body of Christ uses where it comes to being a Christian and walking in the walk with the Lord. Anybody heard some of these phrases? Having faith, walking in faith, exercising your faith, keeping the faith. Popular phrases, right? So what is faith? And this is where I really want us to get some understanding today, because many times we think faith and belief are all the same things, but faith comes from God. And we're going to get into that some this morning. Now, what is faith? Faith is complete trust and confidence in God and his word. Does it say partial trust? It says what? Complete trust and confidence in God and his word. Now, if I were to use a human example, one of the most faithful men of God, leaders in this church, is Pastor Winston. Anybody agree with me on that? Pastor Winston, wherever he is, he's being faithful somewhere right now. I know he's probably up and translating. But if I have faith in Pastor Winston, I know that I can call Pastor Winston right now, 2 in the morning, 5 in the afternoon. And if Pastor Winston isn't doing something with Pastor Emily and their family, how many of you know Pastor Winston's going to show up? I have a human type of faith in Pastor Winston. But how many of you know a faith in God is even greater than faith in a great man? And so I want you to understand that faith, Christian faith, God's kind of faith, is having complete trust and confidence in God's word and in God and his word. Now, another definition, it's a strong belief in Christian doctrine based on spiritual apprehension rather than manifested truth. That's a mouthful. Strong belief in Christian doctrine based on spiritual apprehension rather than manifested truth. What does that mean? Well, that word apprehension means understanding or grasp of. But how many of you know I can, if I have a strong belief, I can understand it and believe it before the prayer is answered? Oh, come on, somebody. What I'm talking about here is a doctrine based in spiritual apprehension. I don't have to see it first to believe it. If I have complete trust and confidence in God's word, I'm excited because I read it. When it shows up, that's just an exclamation mark to what I already believe was going to come to pass. This is how I try to live my life. So you can't just get short-sighted and lose your walk when something doesn't turn out the way you want it to turn out. Amen? Because that means you're walking by sight and not by faith. Firmly held, the last definition, a firmly held set of Christian beliefs. So these are definitions. I want you to hold on to that. I could stop the message right now. And if you just went home with that, I believe just that alone would change some of our lives. Amen? Now, where does faith come from? Faith, say it with me, is a gift from God. Turn to your neighbor. Faith is what? A gift from God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says you are saved by grace through what? Through faith, not from you yourself. It is a gift from God so that no man can boast about it. So faith comes from God. Belief comes from man and opinions and sometimes God's word. We're going somewhere with that. Romans 12, verse 3, write that down. It says that every man and woman has been given a measure of faith. So if you're a born-again believer today, you have faith on the inside of you. Anybody believe that this morning? So how do we grow our faith? Romans 10, 7 says faith comes by and hearing by without God. It's Romans 10, 17. Without growing and hearing the word, we cannot grow in our faith. So if you're spending more time watching television, if you're somebody raised their head. I just saw somebody's head shoot up like that. I'm not going to call their name. But if you're spending more time watching dead shows on TV, you're spending more time listening to dead music with words that don't produce life but produce death, I can tell you right now without talking with you that you do not have God's kind of faith. Because the more time you spend in his word, the greater your faith is. The more time you spend in the world, the weaker your faith is and the greater your word knowledge, your head knowledge of what's going on in society, but you have very little faith. I believe that if Christians were to not be spectators about Hurricane Dorian, we could put our faith together and pray and see that storm go back out to the ocean. Some of y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. I know I'm weird. I just know I am. But I happen to believe God's word. See, when you have an experience when God changes the DNA and the chromosomes of a baby in a womb to get her from being a Down syndrome baby to working on a PhD at UGA, how many of you know you've got to know God a little bit to see him do some things like that? Or when you go to a park and you're on your way to Australia and you're at a park with all the rides and the roller coasters and Ferris wheels and your wallet falls out and you're getting ready to catch a flight from LA to Australia, your wallet just fell out and you got your babies with you and all this money in your wallet. And I said, we're not going to start saying the wallet is lost. We're going to come together and we're going to pray. And do you know that as this family of five prayed, that somebody, everybody say somebody, somebody turned in a wallet full of cash so that we could still make our trip to Australia. How many of you know God is good and he's faithful and you can stand on his word if you just don't start talking doubt and unbelief? We're full of doubt and unbelief. We speak it so many times. And God wants you to speak his word. He wants you to stand and trust his word to come to pass in your life. Amen? I'm trying to be calm this morning. What is the difference between belief and faith? Now this, I couldn't wait to get to this today. This blessed me today. I said, God, please help me to explain this. Give me some bullet points that would help the body of Christ to understand this, because I believe if we can understand this, we can start walking in some supernatural victories. Belief, a strongly held opinion about an idea or worldview. Formed opinions about what you hear, see, or read can change, third bullet, can change over time as you grow and learn new things. Strongly limited by and influenced by our human senses. We're talking about belief this morning. Now, is belief good or bad? It depends on what you believe. So if you continue to hear, let's look at that second bullet. If you continue to hear, that we're supposed to have bathrooms for whatever you claim your gender is. Hear. You continue to watch TV and see all the murders and the destruction. What do you believe? What are you going to start believing? You're going to start walking in fear, right? Start walking in fear. Who hadn't given you the spirit of fear? He's given you the power. He's given you what? Power, love, and a sound mind. So beliefs can be impacted by what you hear, see, and read. You continue to hear enough about same-sex marriage. What are you going to believe? Well, maybe it might be okay. I know some folks that are in a relationship like that. They're good people. How many of you know your beliefs can start to shift and change just a little bit because of those experiences? Everybody okay now? I love everybody. I'm talking about the truth this morning, though. I'm talking about truth this morning. I'm not hating on anyone this morning. Now let's look at faith. Faith is a gift from God established by truth. That's it right there. A gift given by God established by truth of his word. The truth of his word. Faith can what? Can only be given by? Not by man. Faith involves and is influenced by your belief, but it is more than belief. Everybody got that? I love that right there. That's a great one. Thank you, God. High five, Holy Spirit. Faith can take on your doubts and your questions and remain intact. That person didn't rise up like Rev's brother. How many of you know that can start to eat at your belief system some when somebody you prayed for passed away? Or you prayed for that job and somebody else got it and you got passed over. But faith remains intact and takes on your doubt and questions. During the most difficult time in my life, when our son went home to be with Jesus, God told me two things. Trust me when you don't understand, and know that I love you. two things. I've held them the last 11 years. Was my faith rocked? Nope, not at all. Rock solid. Was my belief rocked? Yes, it was some. But my faith said, keep coming to church on Sundays. My faith said, keep showing up at those meetings when the prayer team is praying. My faith says, even though I don't feel like it, I'm going to press my way there because I know I've got to stay in the spirit and I can't take on all this negative, this doubt, and this unbelief. How many of you know, Pastor talks about this. He says the greatest sin is unbelief. I believe that with all my heart because God said it in his word, and because you don't experience now, you don't believe. How many of you know that's not walking in faith? See, when we have faith failures, to me, and I believe we all should do this, some of you do this because we've got some faith giants in this room right now whose names could be in Hebrews 11, in this house, in this room right at this moment. I started to call some names. But how many of you know if you back away when all of you don't see full answers to all your prayers, what are you going to do? You're going to run back to the club? Going to run back to the alcohol? Going to run back to sleeping around? How many of you know those things do tempt us when we're going through a season? Anybody got some humanity on the inside of them? You can nod your head in here. I know I'm not saying you did those things. You don't, but you have to understand. How many of you know when the pressure shows up in life, sometimes your flesh wants to just get some relief? And sometimes the relief we pursue are things that God has delivered us from. But I'm saying keep pressing your way with Jesus. Keep showing up on Sundays. Keep showing up on Wednesday nights. Continue to grow in your faith. Continue to read the Word of God. And I guarantee your faith will eventually prevail. Faith combats fear, doubt, and unbelief. I'm back to that slide there. It's not limited by our human abilities. It motivates us to take action and can grow only by hearing and reading God's word. So if the only word you get every week is on Sundays, I thank God for that. But how many of you know in between Sundays we need to be reading our Bibles? How many of you know in between Sundays we need to be listening to some messages where faith is being taught, whether it's a televangelist or just some tapes from this church here? How many of you know that's how we grow our faith? And I don't know about you all, but I need that in my life. Rodney's not smart enough to do this thing all by himself, but I've got a secret weapon in the Holy Ghost. I got a secret weapon, and I've got a partner in Jesus who goes everywhere with me. In fact, the word says he goes out ahead of me. He's promised to never leave me or forsake me, and I thank you that he's with me every single day of the week. And the more time I spend with him, the more I sense his presence in my life. Say it's about Jesus today. Not Pastor Rodney, it's about Jesus today. And the reason I want you to say that is because I've got so many things, so many testimonies I could share with you about God's goodness and faith, you know, to the point where you're believing God for, and you all have heard me share this before, some of you, believing God for new furniture. Anybody ever believe God for new furniture before? Some of y'all might just go buy furniture. I believe God for furniture. We have been saving our money, trying to honor God and not buy that furniture with no debt, without using debt. And we had that money in place. We were at home. At that time, we were having services on Saturday at Peachtree City Campus, two here on Sundays and one in Peachtree City, I believe. And we were on our way to the Peachtree City Campus around 5 o'clock, and our oldest daughter, Nia, said, "Daddy, somebody's at the door. Ringing the bell, you got some kind of a uniform on." It's like, who is that? We're getting ready to go to church. Well, we open the door. There's an 18-wheeler full of furniture in front of our house. I didn't order any furniture. How many of you know God will show up because you were honoring him and you're praying and you're believing, and we go on this truck like we're in Ethan Allen and we just start buying furniture right there in our neighborhood. That was the most weird thing I've ever experienced. But I tell you what, God is good and faith works. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, you just sit back and sometimes you just want to cry when you see what God has done all of these years. Let's begin in Hebrews 11. Amen. Y'all ready to start the sermon? He's like, start. All right, Hebrews 11. Can we get those scriptures up? 11:1. And it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Another translation says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Zach, could you help me out? Could you give me that yellow container right there, please? Thank you so much. Faith is the substance. Now, I'm 57 years old, but I still play with Play-Doh. Not really. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen. Faith is a substance. Faith is a substance. We defined faith a few minutes ago, didn't we? Faith becomes what you needed to become when you needed to become it. So I have faith for healing. Y'all heard Rev's testimony. Healing did what? It showed up in Jesus' name. I'm praying for breakthrough in my finances. My bank account right now looks like it got a zero in it. How many of you know faith says that's about to change? The world says I've got a sickness or a disease. And that may be a fact. But truth says by his stripes, the substance is healing. By his stripes, I'm healed. See, it doesn't have to show up first before I believe it. See, God's kind of faith, listen to this, God's kind of faith does not deny physical reality. It just refuses to let it dominate spiritual truth. God's kind of faith does not deny the physical realities of reports and what things look like. It just doesn't settle for that. It allows spiritual truth to trump that. So if I'm a card player, and I know we got some card players in the house, some bid whist players in the house, if faith is your big joker, somebody got that who plays bid whist. Faith will trump these reports that we get. How many of you know that's true? Y'all don't act like you don't know this. Come on, raise up your belief today. Raise up your belief today. You might be thinking, my situation hadn't changed. Well, start exercising your faith. It's not over yet. Sometimes we just sit back and we just tolerate stuff and we just hope it goes away or hope it changes. No, begin to exercise your faith. Go into the scripture, find the word so you can start standing on a word, and then you start to proclaim that thing out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. And you guard yourself against doubt and unbelief. Who you're talking to. I know when I'm working on certain things, I just know I can't talk to certain people. I love everybody, but I just know I can't talk to everyone when I'm working on something. See, when we don't exercise our faith, it leads to living an average or below average Christian life with very few victories and very few supernatural results. All because we settle for living in the natural and by our senses. This, and we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, Hebrews 11:2, I'm going back and forth, and I can't teach on every scripture like that or we never get out of here today. But let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 2. Anybody receiving anything today? Hebrews 11:2 says, this is what the ancients were commended for their faith. Now, I just want to read a few of those ancients for you, starting in verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness. That comes by faith. Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Verse 9, by faith he made his home in a promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Verse 11, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, 100 years old, and Sarah herself was barren, was able to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants of numerous as the stars in the skies and countless as the sand on the seashore. How many of you know these people did some pretty amazing things? By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He had received the promise. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned, And Abraham reasoned that God could raise Isaac from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did raise Isaac back from death. Can you all see why these folks are considered faith giants? How many of us could take our child up to a mountain, up to Mount Moriah, and start to prepare the ropes and time and prepare for a sacrifice and have enough faith to know that if God allows this process to go through, he's going to raise him from the dead. How many of us could really do that? I can't really raise my hand. How about some of y'all? Anybody want to take the baton and finish the message? That's amazing, isn't it? Let's look at verse 3 in Hebrews 11. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made of what was visible. Now let's look at that. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So what happened in Genesis 1, I love our pastor and Minister Zach took us there. He says this all the time too, that pastor always takes us where? Back to the beginning. So this is what Hebrews 11:3 says. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So it didn't say it was made out of what didn't exist. It said it wasn't visible. Because faith is what? Faith is a substance. So God said in Genesis 1, he said, let there be, and there was light. Let there be, and there was heaven. Let there be, there was seas, grass, herbs, trees. Let there be, there was the sun, moon, and stars, sea life and birds, animals. And then he went from let there be to let us make. What did he say? Let us make what? Man in our own image. And then God, in Genesis 1:26, he said he's given man what? Authority over everything in the earth, including the animals. You know, when you start thinking about that, you say, well, God, you've given us authority over everything in the earth. And I start to ponder some of these things, and I was like, okay, God really did do that. Because you could go down to the Atlanta Aquarium. Anybody been to the aquarium? And you see these mammoth-sized fish, these beluga whales, and all these mammoth creatures. And God gave man authority to somehow get them out of the ocean and get them to Atlanta in an aquarium. How many of you know God has given you authority? So when it says we've been made in God's likeness and his image, how many of you know we have that same authority that he has? How many of you know we can speak things and things begin to change and show up? You have creative power in your words. Now let's go to the next slide that has those words. Words matter. Everybody say words matter with me. Your words matter, and although we're not perfect in this, your words matter. We don't have time to go through all these scriptures, but Matthew 12, 36 and 37 says that you're going to be judged. I'm going to be judged from every idle word that comes out of my mouth. Anything that's not in faith, any coarse jesting, any filthy jokes, anything that comes out of my mouth that's not faith, I'm going to be judged by those words. How many of you know words matter? Say that, words matter. Words affect your faith. Words affect your breakthrough. Words do matter. Mark 11, 12, 14, 20 through 26. This is when Jesus went by the fig tree, and the fig tree wasn't bearing any fruit. Jesus cursed the fig tree. And then in 20 through 26, he later came back, and the disciples said, Master, the fig tree that you cursed is drying up at its root. Jesus said, duh. Duh, what'd you expect? I'm Jesus. We have that same creative power in our words. Y'all don't believe it, do you? I'm not saying it's like a genie in a bottle. I'm not saying that. We're not talking blab it, grab it, name it, and claim it, but we're talking about faith people. And faith comes with actions. We're going to talk about actions in just a moment. Proverbs 18:21, life and death are where? In the power of the tongue. John 14, 12 through 14, Jesus said in his words, greater works shall I do because he goes to be with the Father and sends one greater. Tell your neighbor I can do greater works. Tell your other neighbor you can do greater works. Tell yourself you can do greater works. And the reason I say that, God has given some of you a very big vision and you're just waiting on other people to help you. You're waiting on things to line up. You're waiting on an opinion. You're waiting on something else. And God has given you everything that you need to fulfill what he's called you to do. Whether it's a ministry, whether it's a business, whether it's a new position, whether it's education. How many of you know God is not in your box? Stop waiting for man's approval before you do what God called you to do. Somebody got free on that right there. Hebrews 11, 6. Let me ask you, do you desire to please God? Well, it says here, and without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith comes with reward. And as we talk about, you know, backing up a couple of scriptures in Hebrews 11, 4 and 5, that's where we see those first two faith champions mentioned, Abel and Enoch. Enoch was raptured up by God. He didn't even have to experience death. I'm telling you, this is the kind of life that God wants us to live. Supernatural. Maybe you don't get raptured up, but you can live in the supernatural. You can see your marriage healed. You can see your children turn around. You can see a breakthrough on your job. You can, if you're trusting God, believing God, and then moving out. How many of you know when we read in those faith champions, they went out and they did something? They didn't just pray and sit on their couch and watch TV. They prayed and then God led them to take some type of action. Faith is an action word. James 2, 14 through 26, please write that down. It talks about faith without works being what? Dead faith. Now, how many of you want some of those experiences like we just read about in your life? Abraham and Noah, some of those giants in the faith. And we look at them and sometimes we think, I could never be at that level, Kingsley. We think I could never be at that level. Mike, we think that never could be me. But how many of you know God's no respecter of person? And if he's given every man and woman a measure of faith, I believe if we develop our faith, we'll begin to see God's breakthroughs in our lives. Now let's look at this with an accurate perspective. Do we have that next slide, Marcus? Accurate perspective, and for our encouragement, these faith champions, let's look at this. They were not without some faith failures. How many of you know they didn't do it all right? Number two, how many of you know they were not without fear at times? Abraham called Sarah his sister because he was scared. Go back there in Genesis 12 and keep reading. You'll see that. Number three, these faith champions were not perfect in their response to every situation. So far, this measures up with me. I'm not perfect. I'm not without faith failures, and I'm not without fear at times. Anybody else in that club with me? All right, but we're not going to give up, right? They were not without persecution from family, friends, and strangers. How many of you know when Noah started building an ark and there hadn't even been a drop of rain yet? Can you imagine the people laughing at him? Can you imagine family members saying, look at Noah, he has absolutely lost it. Persecution comes when you're walking in faith. These faith champions were not always obedient to God. Look at Abraham. You know, he slept with, who did he sleep with to create the first baby? Hagar. And that child's name was Ishmael. Anybody remember that story? That name means what? Counterfeit. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't always obedient. And number six, faith champions were not without distractions, temptations, and difficulties. So far, does that meet you as an individual in this room? How many of you know if you fall in that category, you can still be a faith champion just like these other people were? Now let's look at what they were. That's what they were not. In their imperfection, however, these faith champions were what? God lovers and wanted to please him. How many of you in here want to please God? How many of you have something that God has placed in your heart to do and you're not walking in it yet? I'm not going to make you get up if you want to raise your hand. How many, let me just be honest. God put something in your heart and you want to please him, but you haven't moved out in it yet. Thank you all for your honesty. We're going to come back to that. Number two. Even in their imperfection, they obeyed God more often than not. Number three, they trusted and reverenced God. Number four, they were ordinary men and women. Number five, over time, they matured in their relationship with God. How many of you know this walk, we grow in this walk every day? I'm seeing more things happen at this stage of my life than I saw 10, 11 years ago. I'm doing more now, seeing God do more than I saw 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Now, here's the big thing. Number six, kingdom, in their imperfection, they were kingdom and eternity and big picture focus. How many of you who raise your hand, you're not walking in that dream yet or that desire or whatever God put in your heart to do, how many of you can honestly say it's something for God's kingdom at the root of what he's called you to do? Look at all those hands. Look at all that. We've got some Billy Grahams in this room. We've got some champions in this room. And today, you're going to be commissioned to start moving out in the things God's put in your heart today to do. Number seven, courageously took action and willing to stand alone. Could we have the worship team to come up now? Now, if you raise your hand, God's placed something in your heart to do. I just want to share this with you. Start exercising your faith. You might say, well, Pastor Rodney, I'm not quite sure what to do yet. How about starting with prayer? Prayer. Ask God in your time with Him, God, give me the steps. Because here's the thing, sometimes we are waiting for everything to line up before we move out. Anybody guilty of that? Anybody just waiting for everything to line up before you move out? I've been there. But if he tells you something as simple as you need to read this book on this thing that you're wanting to do, how many of you know that's an act of your faith? How many of you know when there's an altar call here and you know you need to come, but you don't come, you're denying an act of your faith? The word says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, who walk by faith. We have to understand that everything we do, if we do it out of faith, there's going to be a reward out of that. Do you believe that this morning? Stay in faith. You do not have to be perfect to receive your direction, to receive your healing, to receive your deliverance, to see your breakthrough, and even to receive your miracle. It is by faith that we please God and are rewarded by Him. I want to share one little thing with you. God speaks to me quite a bit in the area of faith through plants, through trees, through gardening. My whole front yard is a faith yard. And someone had given us a beautiful white crepe myrtle years ago in honor of our son and his life. And I didn't like where I had planted that crepe myrtle. It's about 4 or 5 years old. And God began to deal with me about that. And this is going to a place of faith, what I'm about to share. He said, the next rain, I want you to dig it up and move it to where you want it to go. I said, God, it's hot. It's July. Anybody knows anything about gardening? You don't move something in full bloom in the heat of this summer that we've had. But how many of you know when God says it, He wants you to do it? And I was questioning this as I was pondering it, because how many of you know Pastor Vicky would be real upset if something happened to that tree? But I said, at the next rain, we need to go out. So Vicky and I went out, Ashley, we got a shovel, and we started to dig, and I tried to get as many of those roots as I could. Didn't get all of them, but I got what I could. Moved that small-sized tree to another area, and we began to pray over it. We began to say, you shall surely live and not die. That you were fruitful there, but you're going to be more fruitful here. We began to water that tree every single morning. If I missed it, Vicky watered it. Vicky missed it, Ashley, when she was home before going back to college. She'd water it. But what happened? Well, the more we prayed and watered, the more the leaves on that tree turned black. the more the blooms on that tree begin to darken and turn brown. It started to look like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. We kept praying. How many know because it looks dead doesn't mean it's dead? Kept putting water on. How many of you know you can speak life over things and things respond to your words? And begin to keep that water flow. And I remember it was about 3, maybe 4 weeks later. I forget who saw it first. Was it you, Ashley? Mommy. This tree's about this tall. All this black, brown everywhere. Somewhere down here, a little bit of new growth. How many of you know, just because it looks one way doesn't mean it has to end that way? You have that picture, Marcus? That's that tree right there. That was yesterday. Look at that. Let's give it up for Jesus. See? It's not about the tree in this, but it's about the example. It's about how faith works. And I want you to understand that you could be fruitful in one place, but God may tell you to move and go be fruitful somewhere else. Don't let fear grip you and keep you from stepping out in the course that God's called you to step out in. You might be believing God for healing right now in your physical body, but you have a symptom going on right now, even when this word is being preached. But how many of you know it's not over right now? How many of you know God is not done just yet? How many of you know if you just sometimes give trouble to your trouble by speaking the word and continuing to pray, that prayer changes things, that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous still avails much? There is nothing, I heard Pastor Felicia say, nothing is impossible for God. Do you believe that? Do you believe nothing? I was having a breathing issue Thursday, November and December of last year. Very few people knew about it. I couldn't even walk up a flight of steps without having to stop 10 or 15 minutes. I didn't know exactly what was going on in my life. Missed most of the month of November and December, wasn't able to work the way I normally worked. But I tell you what, I began to pray. And I began to get these anointed intercessors in this house. Praying, standing, believing, trusting, expecting. The doctor didn't even know what was going on. Felt a little bit like that woman with the issue of blood, went to all the doctors, spent all the money, still no relief. But Jesus! But Jesus! The Lord of Lords! King of Kings showed up on the scene. Breathing problems gone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram or join us on Facebook. Thank you and have a blessed week.